I want.
Let's see. Mm-hmm.
Now, after the war was over, Mrs. Holly, how was the situation then in terms of work?
They became coming in and jobs was opening up.
Did they continue to work on the same kind of jobs that they did during World War
I? Some did.
One?
Mm-hmm. Of course, a lot of people, you know, the stores began to open up and let them come in the stores to do different things and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of people worked in those stores. Oh, I know some worked in their 40-some years.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Gave them nice sandals here a few years back. They take Ruby Cox, worked in these for some 40-some years.
Mm-hmm.
She got nice sandals and went to it.
Did the living conditions change after the war, after World War I? Did the living conditions change much for blacks? You had an increase of them during World War I, and how were the living conditions after World War I? Let's say between World War I and the Depression period, did the living conditions change much for blacks during that time?
Well, you know, after then, those projects were built. Mm-hmm. You know, Father Panic, Beardsley, Terrace.
Oh, I see. You know, but after we leave the World War I, and then there's a period we go to the Depression period. What was your experiences, life experiences during the Depression, during the Depression period, Mrs. Holly?
I tell you, we had a big garden, and we canned a lot of food and so forth. And when the Depression came, some of our neighbors, we would exchange things for what they had too much of.
I see.
For some of my...
Oh, all right.
See?
Well, where did you live during that time?
On Beardsley Street.
Beardsley Street.
Yeah.
Okay.
My mother had two houses there, so we lived in a little house.
How was it in general for people during that time? People that you knew of, in terms of jobs, in terms of getting food.
Well, it's pretty hard. Not some people.
I see. Did they have government type programs at this time? Did government help? People doing this
something they had, but I just can't remember. Just some kind of food program.
During the Depression.
And then what was that they had? World War. Was that World War II, Eddie? WPA. I know it was something like that. Work on the WPA.
Was anything that you recall, any of your experiences that really stood out during the Depression period? Any family experience that went on during that time, or anything that happened in the country during this time that really stood out?
Well,
Did you take care of the garden, or did Mr. Holly, did both of you take care of the garden?
No, Mr. Holly did.
Oh, he did.
Not my son, but
I
my
see.
Wife.
All right. Okay.
But,
also during the Depression period, how was medical care? You know, did you have midwives or doctors or
I don't know much about that.
Then during that time?
Right? I guess they had Dr. Bradley was around here. Dr. James came soon afterwards.
I see. And then during the Depression, where did many of the blacks live then, during the Depression period? Was there much recreation going on during that particular time? During the Depression, most of the blacks lived where? The south end? I see. How about recreation during that time, Mrs. Holly? Not much recreation.
I don't know.
The church? How about the church during that time?
Did they
have many activities in the church during the Depression period?
I don't remember. I don't think they had.
Did they have any clubs or organization? You had mentioned the Phyllis Wheatley earlier. Did they have any more other than the Phyllis Wheatley club?
No, I don't remember.
Now, during World War II, right, what was your situation during World War II? Where were you living during World War II?
On Beardsley.
What was the situation then during World War II? How would you compare the family? Were there any changes that took place in comparison to World War I to World War II? How about the food situation for people, you see, during that time? Work, you see. Did blacks have many technical kind of jobs, or they just had menial work, just, you know, sweepers and this kind of thing during World War II? Would you describe or tell me about the recreation? What did you do for recreation during World War II, Mrs. Holly?
You go to the theater.
Mm-hmm.
You had to sit upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
You wasn't allowed to sit downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of places that you couldn't eat in,
mm-hmm.
the restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Mm-hmm. And what kind of jobs did blacks have at this time? Did they have the better jobs, or did they usually have sanitation kind of jobs?
Well,
or did they work for other people? Did they work at home, domestic kind of job?
Yeah, some of them did that. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
And where the blacks lived during World War II, was it much different than what it was during World War I? Did they live in the same, you know, general area?
We never had ghettos then.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We never had
ghettos. I see.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
It began to spread out as the times got better and people began to, whatever they had saved up, they began to spread out a little more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I see. Now, what do you recall anything? Now, get into the young area now, as far as the 60s are concerned. Do you recall anything about the 60s when we had this social change during the 1960s? Do you recall anything during that period? That's when we had all the demonstrations. You see, Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about these particular the social changes that took place in 1960? How did you look upon that? You know, Martin Luther King in Alabama, the March on Washington. You see, what did you have any thoughts about those social changes during that time?
I just thought it was wonderful.
I see.
I just thought it was wonderful, and I was glad that he came forward, and that he was making people realize that we were somebody and we should be noticed.
Mm-hmm. 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 Did you think this helped Bridgeport in any way as far as the attitude or the between blacks and whites?
I didn't know about the thoughts that people had. Have you got one of these, or did you ever read one of these books down here about the city of Bridgeport?
No, I haven't.
That blue book right there. Over here. Look right down here. And those blue books on the city of Bridgeport. And the mayors and all that they have. I remember they had a mayor there called Mole the Hill.
I see.
The white kids would get out in the street and said, up the hill and down the hill, but don't vote for Mole the Hill. And I looked in the book yesterday, Mole the Hill was there 2 terms.
Mm-hmm. I see. Mm-hmm. I said, this is the story of Bridgeport from 1836 to 1936. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Yes, this is very interesting. Is there anything that I have there are certain areas that I have covered during this interview, Mrs. Holly, is there anything that you would like to talk about that I have not asked? Or,
yes,
you know,
when
feel
I come
free,
to
feel free to do
buying
so.
A house, it was something else.
Uh-huh.
These late years, but especially when they started building that throughway, you'd be surprised.
Uh-huh.
You go out and try to look around. And I'm up there, this end. They'd see in a car, and they get at a window, and they'd come out on the porch, and they would look, and they'd see where your car's going to stop, and all that foolishness. And then, if you go look at a house, the man would try to tell you all the wrong things about a house. Not the good things, but the wrong things about it. And then they say to you, well, why don't you go and live in Shapsie Hill? Why don't you ask for Sorrentina to build you a house? And my husband said, I don't want no houses built by Sorrentina, and I don't want to live in Chopsey Hill.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then there was a man worked in Sears Roebuck, and my husband seemed to thought a lot of him. And he said, "Well, John, come over. We have some new houses you look at over in Stafford." Well, we went and looked at the houses, but they weren't what we wanted. And so called me up on the phone one day and says to me, "Mrs. Holly, well, where would you like to live?" I said, "I don't know yet." Mm-hmm. I said, "I looked at this house in Stratford, but they didn't appeal to me." "Mm-hmm. Oh, Mrs. Holly, you know, you can't live anywhere." Mm-hmm. I said, "What do you mean I can't live anywhere?" Mm-hmm. I said, "Because my face is dark."
Mm-hmm.
And I got through with him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then we went further up Madison Avenue here. And he said, "Look." I said, "Well, this is the limit." So here's what he did. I got tired of looking at their houses, and they always had some excuse. The people that was living in this house died of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
All that junk. So I said to my husband one day, "I don't want any of their houses." He said, "What you going to do?" I said, "Buy a lot."
Mm-hmm.
And see if we can have our own house built.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you think you're going to find a lot of? I said, "Keep on looking in the newspaper."
Mm-hmm.
So I was home one Sunday. He didn't have to play. I looked at the newspaper and I saw these lots. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's 6 or 7. And so I had an agent that lived in Stratford.
Mm-hmm.
I called him up on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I told him. He says, "What? You saw that in the paper?" I said, "Sure did." So he says, "What page?" I told him. He says, "All right, call me back." He said, "Look, you got any money?"
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Yeah." Because I want some money to put down on that lot. If you got any money?
Mm-hmm.
He says, "All right." So he says, "I'll be to your house because I'm going to call that Italian up. He owned it." And so he says, I called him and told him it was 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
He says, he says, "And you weren't there looking. You haven't been looking at me." I said, "No, but I want to go look." So he says, "I think I know about where that is."
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, he came up here. He called a man. They got to come here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And so he called me back. And the man says to him, "Well, what are you planning on building around here?" It's a Cape Cod house. "You got markers on the car," says, "Florida."
Mm-hmm.
"I know," he says, "I live in Florida." Man live over in Stratford.
I see.
He says, "But I go to Florida in the winter."
I see. Mm-hmm.
"And I like to be up here in the summertime."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I said, "Well," he says, "what lot would you like?"
Mm-hmm.
So he says, "I want this one here." He mm-hmm. says, "This side of that telegraph pole."
Mm-hmm.
The man says, "All right." Well, I says, "Can I meet you in the bank tomorrow?" He said, "Yes, put a deposit down."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They did.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We went from there to Edwin and them coming up here, clearing off the lot.
All right.
And across there lived a Hungarian Jew.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very particular who he wanted mm-hmm. living in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
So Edwin said, "Come out and look at him."
Mm-hmm.
"What are y'all doing?"
Mm-hmm.
"Cleaning a lot of."
Mm-hmm.
"Who's going to build a house there?"
Mm-hmm.
So he told him the man's name. "Well, oh." Edwin said that he could hear the blinds going up, window shutters and everything else, so they were up here.
Mm-hmm.
So they clean a lot off and they start building. We had a different builder. So they told the guy to come up here, and we had a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And the lawyer told him to get up here, and he wasn't going to get a penny until he put the foundation
mm-hmm.
in. You know, he come back and told the lawyer, I can't build the house. Why? Because the plumber says niggers are coming up there,
mm-hmm.
and he's not going to put anything in.
Mm-hmm.
So he went to another man. Another man said he wasn't going to do anything here either.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I got no money to start it. I says, you can tell him and he can forget it and we'll get someone else.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want him to build mm-hmm. my house because mm-hmm. I don't think he wanted to build it either.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, he went and told him and he went to the bank and he went to the lawyers and they said, all right, now stop everything.
Mm-hmm.
Do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do nothing more there.
Mm-hmm.
So we got out of here, and we got ourselves another building.
Mm-hmm.
And they come up here and built the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the house was built, do you know, a man came here from Washington mm-hmm. to ask me how did we fare and how did the neighbors treat us.
Mm-hmm.
That's what mm-hmm. we went through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was no easy job mm-hmm. in those days trying to mm-hmm. find a house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was hard.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been at this address?
29 years.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know, while they were building the house, Jew over there coming nights mm-hmm. stealing our lumber.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And one day, somebody up the street here saw two boys taking our window frames.
Mm-hmm.
And they told them to take them back. Somebody mm-hmm. was kind enough
mm-hmm.
up the street here.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't mm-hmm. have no easy time. Mm-hmm. I never will forget
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about prejudice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I moved up here. I don't even know their names.
Mm-hmm.
I don't bother them
mm-hmm.
even.
Mm-hmm.
Because the woman over there, in that big house up there, she got after Mr. Bigley. What'd you sell that? What did you build a house of them niggers mm-hmm. down there for?
Mm-hmm.
I'm selling my house. He said, all right, go on, sell it. Go on, mm-hmm. sell it.
Mm-hmm.
I told him about him,
mm-hmm.
and he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
He went and left here after we got in here. He stayed a while, and that little house was built. And then he wanted to know who was building that,
mm-hmm.
and the contractor
mm-hmm.
told him. Appeared this real estate company up the street. They interested in these people.
Mm-hmm.
About buying the house.
Mm-hmm.
He did have a mean old Italian man,
mm-hmm.
and he was like the devil, and I was so glad that he didn't mm-hmm. get in there. I don't mm-hmm. know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
He was mean,
mm-hmm.
and he tried to make believe that some of our property belonged to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see? Mm-hmm. And so the man who came up here and what do you call him? The surveyor
mm-hmm.
said he wasn't coming up here anymore
because
mm-hmm. he knew what he'd done and
mm-hmm.
was right.
Mm-hmm.
That old man got nasty over it, and the fellow, the main realty company, told him,
mm-hmm.
he said, you don't want any house now. I'm not selling to you.
Mm-hmm.
So he sold it to this mm-hmm. colored family. They moved in mm-hmm. there. He comes out and told us that he heard that there are 10 people that live in the house, mm-hmm. 10 people in that little house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he was going to move.
Mm-hmm.
So he moved forward.
Mm-hmm.
And no more got down there, he died.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he'd been there something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then we had a man lived on the East End. He was around here telling people he had this street sold up. He's black now.
Mm-hmm.
And this, and he went over to where Judge Spear lived. I think that's the house. And it was not the one next to it. He's going to buy that house and send, oh, I forgot the man's name. He was a holy man for a church.
Mm-hmm.
So my husband went out and said, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
So what are you trying to do up here?
Mm-hmm.
Says, now, I got away from Mercer Street because there's so much noise,
mm-hmm.
and the change of the people and the class of people
mm-hmm.
that was living over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to move. I had to get out of the way of the thruway because
mm-hmm.
they'd taken the house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are you trying to do?
Mm-hmm.
He went across the street there. A lady just got the house 3 years ahead of us. That
mm-hmm.
two-family house that Gina left
mm-hmm.
from the McDog is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and got out to that lady and wanted to know, would you like to sell her house?
Mm-hmm.
She said, well, I said, my house was just bought the house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I tell me, she said, you're going to get out of this house, I'm going to call the police.
Mm-hmm.
I'm satisfied mm-hmm. in my house.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
there's more black folks
mm-hmm.
coming into this. She said, they come, let them come.
Mm-hmm.
So he went over there, and John said to him, what are you trying to do?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want no holy church sitting in front of me. That's the reason I moved and I built my house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just get out of that neighborhood, will you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he got rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you,
mm-hmm.
we had a time.
Mm-hmm.
He chose.
Mm-hmm.
She was staying with
mm-hmm.
three of them in the room, just like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And one lady, way up the street.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There was a woman from our church working for her.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I think I'll move. What was it? What you gonna move for? Because too many niggers are moving into the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so she says, who's moving? Well, we went downtown and we heard that a family's coming in there and there's others coming in too. So I'm getting out of here before they move.
Mm-hmm.
She says, listen, those people are friends
mm-hmm.
of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And they're nice people.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see why you would think bigger mm-hmm. and you way up the street here.
Mm-hmm.
And she
mm-hmm.
moved out.
Mm-hmm.
Another white family moved in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now that's really
mm-hmm.
history.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Pretty stable since then, though.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Pretty stable after that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We had a time getting this place.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.